believers, when they come to the Lord, they can relate to the Lord as Almighty God, powerful, you know, supreme. But daddy is hard for them. And there's a real softening that has to take place in a man's heart. And I know I went through it, and I've known other friends who have gone through it. If you've got issues with a father figure, because God our Father is not necessarily like our human father. So in the memory verse that's in your bulletin is slightly different to the one that I've put up here. There's a difference between praising God, and there's a difference between thanking God. And I can praise God and say, God is powerful and mighty. But for me to go and say, I thank you, God, for saving me, it's a deeper relationship. Like for me as a male, it takes me in closer. And I actually just know people that have actually had issues with that. So some of these scriptures here are going to hit more on the thankful part. So in Psalm 92, verse 1, this is our memory verse. It is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High. All right, so let's say that together. It is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High. One more time. It is good to give thanks to the Lord and sing praises to your name, O Most High. Okay. All these scriptures I've put up on screen, because there's, as you can see in your handout, there's quite a few scriptures. So we'll have a read through those. Our first point is Jesus shows us an example of being faithful. Being thankful and being faithful. So I always like to have a look and see, how did Jesus live his life? What can we learn from his example? Jesus said, I've set you an example that you should do as I've done. So in Matthew 26, verse 27, we see when he had taken a cup, and he gave thanks. He gave it to him and said, drink from it, all of you. In John 6:11, Jesus took the loaves and he gave thanks again. And he distributed it to those who were seated, and he did the same with the fish. And in John 11:41, when they removed the stone, Jesus raised his eyes and Jesus said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. So in Jesus' life, we see Jesus gave thanks. He thanks for food. He gave thanks that when he prayed, he was heard. In Revelation, it's so interesting to see how the special creatures and the beings that are in heaven give thanks to God. In Revelation chapter 4, verse 9, and when the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, to him who lives forever and ever. In chapter 7, verse 11, and all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshipped God. Verse 12, and they sang, Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Sorry, I got that note there wrong. Down to point D, Revelation chapter 11, verses 16 to 17. And the 24 elders who sit on their thrones before God fell on their faces and worshipped God, saying, We give you thanks, O God, the Almighty, who are and who were, because you have taken your great power and have begun to reign. So often an entry into worship to God began with thank you. Thank you, God. In Psalm 50, verse 14, it says, Offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving and pay your vows to the Most High. A sacrifice of thanksgiving, I don't know what that means to you. There are times maybe when things are going on and maybe it comes to your mind or heart, I'm not really feeling thankful right now. Maybe something bad's happened. Maybe, you know, the car broke down or someone cut you off or something happened. Are we supposed to give thanks then? Okay, we are. Okay, so there is a sacrifice of praise or a sacrifice of thanksgiving, and we are to do that. We're to, even if we don't feel like it, we give thanks to God in all things. That's right. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. These are just quick points, just to get us to our main point. Who do we thank? Of course, we know we thank God. In Psalm 69, verse 30, I will praise the name of God with song and magnify him with thanksgiving. In Psalm 116, verse 17, to you I shall offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving and call upon the name of the Lord. We see also Paul writing to Timothy. Paul says, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has strengthened me because he considered me faithful, putting me into service. And we thank God through Jesus Christ. In Romans 1:8, first I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, because your faith is being proclaimed throughout the whole world. Colossians 3:17, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. And Hebrews 13:15, through him then let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of lips that give thanks to his name. In Psalm 95, verse 2, it says, let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. So when we come into God's presence, psalmist, right, we do it with thanksgiving. We enter into God's presence with thanksgiving. And this is an important point. I know I have at school, I have one particular class of students, and there's about 10 students that come to this class. And when they walk in, they have this group attitude of grumbling. Oh, what are we doing today, Mr. Hearn? And I say, oh, you know, today we're doing these things. Oh. And I say to them, I stop them and I say, why are you grumbling? Oh, blah, blah, this school's terrible, blah, blah, blah. You know, and I say, you have refrigerated water down at the taps. I said, you know, there are some schools and they have a roof and no walls. There are some places and countries in the world, and I said, you know, where children your age are kidnapped and given drugs and given guns and taken from families. I said, you know, you have so much to be thankful for. It's, you know, it's this attitude. And I know every time they come into class, and I think, oh, I've got to deal with this grumbling, complaining. You know, so you smile and you get over it, but it's not nice. So, you know, with God, when we come into his presence, thank you, God. What do we thank him for? We're going to go through that, but we have so much to be thankful for. So we, in Psalm 100, verse 4, we enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. We give thanks to him and we bless his name. And we do it in the name of Jesus. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. Okay, we do it in private worship. We see this in the life of Daniel. The decree went out, you know, that they weren't allowed to do these things. But Daniel, when he knew the document was signed, he entered his house. Now in his roof chamber, he had a window open towards Jerusalem. And he continued kneeling on his knees 3 times a day, praying and giving thanks before his God, as he had been doing previously. So in his private prayer time, gave thanks to God. Publicly, in Psalm 35, verse 18, it says, I will give you thanks in the great congregation. I will praise you among a mighty throng. So whether we're home alone, whether in a group of people, we praise. What do we give thanks for? Everything. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, it says, in everything give thanks. Now, is that when bad things happen? It's hard to give thanks when bad things happen. When things don't go our way. Now, when I say it's hard to give thanks when bad things happen, I'm saying that's been my experience of what I see some people, they'll say. It's very hard. And we do have to rise up to overcome things. We've got to look to the Lord. The Psalms so often take us through the journeys we see David went through. All this bad stuff's going on, yet God will deliver me. You know, thank you, God. No matter what is happening, this is not the end. There's another page. There's another chapter. The story isn't finished yet. So in everything give thanks, for this is the will for you in Christ Jesus. You might have to come down a little bit, Natasha. Just slightly ring. Upon the completion of great undertakings, when they rebuilt the wall in Nehemiah, this is in chapter 12, verse 31. Then I had leaders of Judah come up on top of the wall, and I appointed 2 great choirs, the first proceeding to the right on top of the wall towards the refuse gate. And you can read the 15 verses in between there, and it talks about how they come up and people were appointed. But he recalls, in the days of David and Asaph, in ancient times there were leaders of the singers, songs of praise and hymns of thanksgiving to God. So here's this big project written about. that Nehemiah undertook. The Lord got him to do this job, and he gets it done. Thanks God for it. Gets up, brings choirs of people in, and they give thanks to God. Okay, in Acts 27:35, we see that thanks is given. Having said this, he took bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of all. He broke it and began to eat. So before taking food, Paul recounts what the Lord does. Okay, and whatever it is, we give thanks always. In Ephesians 1:16, do not cease, Paul says, I do not cease giving thanks for you while making mention of you in my prayers. Always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. We give thanks to you, God, always for all of you, making mention of you in our prayers. As we remember God's holiness, we sing praises to the Lord, you his godly ones, and give thanks to his holy name. It's interesting in Psalm 34 and Psalm 97:12, there's two references to the people of God being holy and being righteous. And at the same time, what comes out of their mouth? Thank you, God. Where would we be without what God did? None of us would be in a good place. But because of what God did, God has made us his children. He has made us righteous. He's changed us. And as we remember God's holiness, we think, wow, the Lord also has transformed us and is transforming us into that same image. And we thank him for it. We couldn't do it on our own, which is an amazing thing. Didn't matter how hard we tried. We thank God for his goodness and mercy. Psalm 106, verse 1. Praise the Lord, O give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his loving kindness is everlasting. Psalm 107. O give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his loving kindness is everlasting. Psalm 136. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his loving kindness is everlasting. Give thanks to the God of gods, for his loving kindness is everlasting. Give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his loving kindness is everlasting. I think we're supposed to give thanks. for the gift of Christ, in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift, which is amazing. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. And we freely receive the gift of salvation by believing in Jesus. We didn't earn it. It's a gift. A gift, when we receive a gift, what do we say? And we say thank you, and we are thankful. I do have to say, sometimes when time goes on, you can get into a routine, I guess. You know, you've been a Christian 10, 20 years, and, you know, we know to pray, we know to read the Word, and we do these things, but it's so good every now and then just to stop. And I find the best way to do it is to picture the cross. I love to do that. I love to just stop, and I picture the cross. I love to read through the last few chapters of the Gospels and the last 10 chapters of John, and just travel that journey with Jesus when he went to the cross. And you can't help but give thanks. You can't help but weep. You can't help but just say, Lord, thank you. Lord, you saw me in my sin. You saw me in all the error and the evil of my ways. Yet you sent Jesus. And Jesus willingly came and willingly died for me. And I find I can do that sometimes daily, weekly, and it impacts my heart. And that's just going to the cross. It's such a good thing. And how do we describe what God has done? It's so hard. And Paul says, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. How can we even wrap it up, you know, and just say, oh, this is what God's given us. It's so big what the Lord has done. We thank God for Christ's power and reign. Revelations 11:17. We give you thanks, O Lord God, the Almighty, you who are and who were, because you have taken your great power and have begun to reign. For the reception and effectual working of the word of God in others. You know, when we see the word of God at work in other people, you know, we give thanks. And I know a lot of us do that. We say, you know, brother so-and-so, this happened, and praise the Lord, you know. And we praise God for it. And it says here, for this reason, we also constantly thank God when you receive the word of God, which you heard from us. You accepted it not as the word of men, but for what it really is, the word of God, which also performs its work in you who believe. We constantly thank God that you received the word. You kind of go through a study like this and you think, it's really hard to think of a time we don't give thanks. We're to give thanks all the time in so many situations. for deliverance through Christ from sin in us. In Romans chapter 7, you know, where Paul talks about, he says, oh, there's things in me that I don't want to do, I end up doing, and there's, you know, but I don't want to do it, and I end up doing it, and what's going to happen? Who's going to deliver me from this body of death? Wretched man that I am, who will set me free from the body of this death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. That is a really good thing to do. And it's a step of faith. We appropriate healing by believing by faith. Jesus said so many times, you know, your faith has made you well. In our growth, becoming more like Jesus, becoming more like Christ, it is also a step of faith. It's not a step of discipline and works. It's not a step of getting a whip and beating ourselves. It's not a matter of the flesh. It's a matter of the Spirit. And through the Spirit, we put to death the deeds of the flesh. Now, when we struggle with things that come up in our life, we can actually say, thank you, God. You are delivering me from this. That's a good response. Sometimes if we sin or we make a mistake or we get it wrong, the devil wants to isolate us, wants to get us quiet, wants to get us away from God, go and watch TV, go and have some food, whatever it might be. First thing we should do, repent. Lord, I'm sorry. Stop whatever's going on. And then, as you know, as we go through this struggle and we say, oh, why do I get angry, or why did I, whatever it might be, we can say this. We can say, God, I thank you. You are delivering me from this. This thing that's going on that's in my life, you are delivering me from it through Jesus. It's a thankfulness. And that's it. Do you know, it's always God's got the next better step for us. He doesn't leave us in this pit. And he comes down, he helps us out, gives us his hand. And by faith, we can start to walk into that. So don't ever feel that something's got a hold of you and you can't escape. The power at work in you is the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. And all of us and our friends and our family can hear this word of God and can also be set free, can also grow and become the people of God they've been called to be. We give thanks for victory over death and the grave. 1 Corinthians 15:57. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through Lord Jesus Christ. For wisdom and might, Daniel said, to you, O God of my fathers, I give thanks and praise, for you have given me wisdom and power. Even now you have made known to me what we requested of you, for you have made known to us the king's matter. For the triumph of the gospel, but thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph in Christ and manifests through us the sweet aroma of the knowledge of him in every place. When we take the gospel out and we get, you know, battered about, or maybe people laugh or people don't want to entertain what we're saying, we still give thanks because the gospel is the word of God and it is a sweet aroma. Now, for some people, there's issues why they don't receive it, but the sweet aroma is permeating the earth more and more every day. And it's winning more and more people every day. And it is the aroma that's going to win. We're not going to, this is not the devil's kingdom that he is going to win and reign. The Lord wins and reigns. So he leads us in triumph. And when we go out and we speak a word, it has impact. And I remember when I got saved back in 1990. And the Lord gave me, like brought to my remembrance, about 13 people who witnessed to me from when I was about 5. I got saved when I was 18. And there were all these people. And I went and I found quite a few of them and thanked them. Now, I was a horrible person to witness to. I laughed at them. I was just a horrible, the way I would have addressed people, you know, and just said, how could you believe in that stuff? Don't you know that science created the world? It was swirling dust clouds and the Big Bang. And I said, why do you, you're so weak, you believe in God. You know, and so I had all these big arguments in class and with people. But they just said, the truth of the word of God. And you know, what is the word of God? Doesn't it say the word of God? What does it do to the most stubborn rock of resistance? It breaks it. Yes. So the word of God is that hammer to the most stubborn rock of resistance. So whoever the most stubborn person is that you know, it's not up to you. You're not the hammer. Hammer. You know, Jesus died for your sins. And you just say that. And they go, oh, you're so silly, go away from me. Go away and thank God that the aroma has gone out, because that aroma is going to bear fruit. And they might laugh at you for 13 years like I did, and then one day, oh my goodness, and you're on your knees and you're crying and you're on your face, oh my goodness, Lord, forgive me, and you are real. That's it. This is the battle we're in. At this battle, we understand more and more why it's not ours, it's the Lord's. It's not my strength, It doesn't matter whether we speak well or poorly, whether we dress well or not. It doesn't matter about any of these things. It is the Lord who is doing this. And how much more strengthened and encouraged do we feel knowing we can go out there in His name, in His presence, in His power. In fact, just saying things like, this is what Jesus did for you, and knowing that God is creating the triumph. If you've got the weight on your shoulders today, take it off. If you've got the burden and the weight of saving everyone, take it off you. Now, go and preach the gospel to everyone, but know and give thanks that God has the triumph. And we go out and preach the gospel, and it is His work, but we can't sit home and be discouraged. So we rise up. Thank you, God. You always lead us in triumph in Christ, and you manifest through us the sweet aroma of the knowledge of Him. People might say something to you, but do you know what? It's sweet aroma to me. 13 years after I heard the gospel, it just the sweetest thing. I remember getting saved and the grass was greener and the flowers, and I stopped and I looked at all these things. Praise the Lord. Let that word come out and give thanks to God, knowing if this takes 13 years or 20 years, Lord, we believe. So we give thanks for the conversions of others. In Romans chapter 6, verse 17 to 18, but thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching to which you were committed. And having been freed from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. When people get saved, thank you, God. We thank God for faith and love exhibited by others. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, because your faith is being proclaimed throughout the whole world. We thank God for what we see. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3. We ought always to give thanks to God for you, brethren, as is only fitting, because your faith is greatly enlarged and the love of each one of you towards one another grows ever greater. We give thanks to God for the grace bestowed on others. I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given you in Christ Jesus. Philippians 1, 3 to 5. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always offering prayer with joy in my every prayer for you all, in view of your participation in the gospel from the first day until now. Now, we can thank people and encourage people. Thank you for your service. Thank you for what you're doing. But the first thing we see Paul happening here, thank you, God. And I thank God that these people are going out and continuing in the work of the gospel. Thank you, God. Colossians 1, 3 to 6. We give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven, of which you previously heard the word of truth, the gospel. When we see zeal in others, 2 Corinthians 8, 16. But thanks be to God who put the same earnestness on your behalf in the heart of Titus. It's interesting, isn't it? Because I'm seeing so many different situations, and I think I see some things and I'll go and say, thank you so much, great job. And I'm reading the scriptures, and although the scriptures isn't condemning that, the scriptures like almost saying, first of all, thank God for that thing. So I see someone zealous and on fire for the Lord, you know, thank God. Thank you, God, that person is zealous and on fire for you. For the nearness of God's presence, Psalm 75, 1. We give thanks to you, O God. We give thanks, for your name is near. Men declare your wondrous works. For appointment to ministry. And this is an important one. I think any of us that serve in any capacity in ministry will have opportunity to go home and say, put the keys on the table and sit down and go, boy, that was hard. Or, Lord, you know, people misunderstood. And, you know, you can go away feeling kicked in the stomach and you think, Lord, I'm doing all these things. Some people I know, they left the ministry. They got good jobs, pay a couple of $100,000 a year and rejoiced in God, telling me, see how God is with me. And I thought, yeah, but you gave up your church and is that what God wanted for you? But, you know, things are hard, things are tough. I think it's very good to have a sober understanding that, okay, things in this life will be tough. Things will be hard. It says that we will suffer persecution. It says if this is what they did to Jesus, what are they going to do to us? So I think if we can learn all of these things and not just think, oh, well, if I'm going to, you know, be a Christian or serve the Lord in any capacity, then my life will be great and wonderful. It's like, look, in the midst of the persecution, God is with us, and there's nothing better than that. So though they throw us into the lion's den, though they set us on fire, though they do whatever they do, because God is with us, that's the best it can be. And this life, you know, is this blade of grass on the wind, a puff of smoke in the air, and it's over. But then, hundreds, thousands, tens of thousands, millions of years in heaven, you know. And the Lord's set it up so that there is a reward. And we want to serve him and find out what he's called us to do. So I think the statistics were that in 98, there were 97, just 10 years ago, there were over 10,000 former ministers in Australia. Yeah? So I'm not sure what the statistics are now.
It's even worse in the US.
Is it?
Much worse. That churches are, they are springing up, many are closing down, people are leaving the ministry.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. It is a tough walk. It's persecution. But it's even if you're just a Christian, you go into your workplace and people are saying things or giving you a hard time, it's tough. So what do we do? Well, we can complain about it. Well, I don't want to do this, but what's the alternative? Not to serve God? We can't taste this beautiful and then go somewhere else. It's like there's only the Lord for us. But we just see here, Paul writing to Timothy. Now, this letter was written, at this point, Paul had gone through a lot of persecution. But what does he say? I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who has strengthened me. You know, when you think of all the hard things he went through. But, I mean, I haven't been thrown into jail for the gospel's sake, let alone being beaten or anything like that. I had some people, you know, upset me. You know, maybe I cry, you know, so I had to get tissues, but I mean, come on. So we thank Christ Jesus our Lord who has strengthened me because he considered me faithful, putting me into service. We thank the Lord for these opportunities. For willingness to offer our property to God's service. Just the very fact that we have an ability to give to what the Lord is doing. It's not like God says, thank you, Justin, giving me that $10, you know, or, you know, thank you. No. I thank God that I have an opportunity to participate. And in 1 Chronicles 29, verse 12 to 14, both riches and honor come from you, and you rule over all. And in your hand is power and might, and it lies in your hand to make great and to strengthen everyone. Now, therefore, our God, we thank you and praise your glorious name. But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to offer as generously as this? For all things come from you and from your hand we have given you. That's great. I mean, really, that's great. So we don't reserve the front row seat for the person who's come in and given $100,000, you know, to the church or something like that. It's not that way. The heart of us, if we give more than anyone ever possibly could know that we've given, then when we give, we don't sit back and say, now God will go. Ah. We sit back. No, we get on our knees and we say, Lord, I thank you, because you know what? Lord, without you, I'd probably be clothless and in the gutter. But you have spared me, you have saved me, you've given me wisdom, you've made these opportunities for me. And the Lord has done this. He really has. And I'd said briefly before in the past, I used to live on the streets. I didn't finish high school. So people say, so how do you teach in a high school now? You know, but the Lord opened doors up for me. The Lord carried me through these things, and he sent people across my path. I give thanks for a lady who died last week. She took me in, her family. They were an Anglo-Indian family, and they took me in when I was 16 and just loved me and looked after me, fed me, did all that sort of thing for years. I don't know. My wife and I talked about this. I don't know if I'd be here if they hadn't shown that kindness. I thank God for her. So praise the Lord. 1 Timothy 4:3-4, it's talking about people who forbid marriage and advocate abstaining from food, but it says God has created them to be gratefully shared in by those who believe and know the truth. For everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with gratitude or thanksgiving. So in the past, you know, they couldn't eat like pig. Any animal that divided the hoof, they couldn't eat. They couldn't eat all these different sea creatures. And so around this time, some people were saying you can, some people were saying you can't. God gave Peter the vision in Acts chapter 10. And he said, no, it's all clean now. So everything that God has made can be received with thanksgiving. Romans 14:6. It's interesting here because it says the person who eats does so to the Lord. He does it with thanks to God. But it says the one who doesn't eat, that doesn't do it to the Lord, like if you're fasting, you give thanks to God. 1 Timothy 2:1, we give thanks for all men. First of all, then I urge that entreaties and prayers, petitions and thanksgiving be made on behalf of all men. 2 Corinthians 9:11, you will be enriched in everything for all liberality, which through us is producing thanksgiving to God. It's interesting. I mean, that's an interesting scripture to think about, is producing thanksgiving in us. Ephesians 5:20 we've looked at. But instead of focusing on the always, we see that we're to always give thanks for all things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, there's just a couple of warnings. In Luke 18:11, the Pharisee stood and was praying this to himself. God, I thank you. He was thankful. He said, God, I thank you. I'm not like other people, swindlers, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. Well, we have to be careful with our thanking, that it's not that the Lord doesn't see a hypocrisy in our heart, and that it's not boasting. There's a humility. And Romans 1:21, this is an interesting verse. I think this is worth thinking about. It says, for even though they knew God, they did not honour him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations and their foolish heart was darkened. It's a very interesting passage around those ones in Romans chapter 1, if you have a look at it sometime. People stopped honouring God and stopped thanking him, and it ended up that God handed them over. We want to be thankful people, don't we? And there's being thankful is something in our heart that changes us. Praising God is, we praise God and we do these things and we add to that our thanksgiving. It takes us into a personal place in our heart. God, thank you. Thank you for what you've done for me. Thank you, Lord, for what we see in the church. Thank you, Lord, that I have an opportunity to give. Okay. In Luke chapter 17, so our last one, this is the story of the 10 lepers. They get healed and Jesus sends them and says to them, now go show yourself to the priests as the law commanded. And so they did, and it says, as they went, they were healed. And then one of them came back. When he saw that he had been healed, turned back, glorifying God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at his feet, giving thanks to him. And he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But the 9, where are they? Well, Jesus notices when we give thanks. And looks here like he notices when people don't. Now, there can be many other rewards of being thankful. But we're thankful. You know, my wife makes a lovely dinner. I'm thankful. Oh, I feel good. Thank you very much. You know, the Lord has done so much for us. We stop and we give thanks. And Jesus notices. And if Jesus notices, that's a good thing. That's a good thing. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done. Oh, that's good. It's good to be thankful. So, all right, there was a lot of scriptures there, so I knew for time, so we want to get through that. Was there any thoughts or questions? Sister Esther has something, I'm sure. No, okay. Is there something that you're thankful for? What if I thought, and this was on the, I think this was in the bulletin. If there is, maybe you can turn to the person next to you, and maybe you can share with them, just to kind of get the, you know, like to get the engine going. Because thanks is to God. We thank God. But, you know, sometimes we've got to get the mind, blow out the dust, get it rolling around. What's something that's happened to you in the last week that you could give thanks for? Is there something? Or if you need to go back further, that's fine. So why don't we just take a minute and just share with someone next to you something that you give thanks for.